Hope you're enjoying your Saturday. Fun to spend some time with you for sure. Steve Thompson, Lindsey Brown. One more hour. Twins play it later tonight in San Diego. Our pregame lineup card begins at 7, first pitch at 7:40 tonight. Padres won game one of the series on Friday night. Late start there, and then they'll play a mid-afternoon matinee on Sunday. The Twins will then travel to Sacramento and play the A's for three games before returning to Target Field in the big series with the White Sox at Target Field beginning next Friday and continuing through the weekend. So the Twins in town during the fair, they'll get the White Sox and Tigers during that next homestand. One of the other big sports stories that came totally out of the blue was word that the Timberwolves were being sold again. So you had Harv and Marv founded the franchise. Glenn Taylor saved the team from the move to New Orleans. Seems like a long time ago. And then Glenn Taylor decided to bring in new partners and then would eventually turn the keys over to Mark Lorry and Alex Rodriguez. And at the end of that partnership, things got ugly. It went to court. And ultimately, it was decided that Lorry and A-Rod would be able to buy the team at roughly $1.5 billion. There were other partners. It gets complicated. But the front men were Mark Lorry and Alex Rodriguez. And then out of the blue, we learn on Friday that Lorry is selling a big chunk of his interest in the team to one of their partners. So Mark Lorry and Alex Rodriguez were the main guys, and then there were other people involved. And there's a lot of stories, Star Tribune, Pioneer Press. We have a story on our website, of course. But John Krasinski, who's covered the Timberwolves for a long, long time, did a deep dive on all of it in The Athletic. And John Krasinski, once upon a time, worked for the Associated Press, went over to The Athletic when they were born. And he sold his controlling interest in the Timberwolves and Lynx, the limited partner and Dragoneer Investment Group founder and managing partner Mark Stad, at a $4.5 billion valuation. And at first I was like, oh, we got 4.5. No. Team valued as a whole at $4.5 billion. A lot of partners in this. And we're not really sure how much Lorry took out of it, but we do understand that Lorry will still be involved in some capacity, but Lorry is going to move on and focus on other business interests. A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, will stay involved. So A-Rod will partner with Stad at the forefront of ownership while Lorry takes a step back. The plan is for A-Rod to serve as a more public-facing member of the ownership group with his experience as both a star athlete and television analyst, giving him comfort in the public spotlight. He's expected to spend the most time on the ground in Minnesota, where he owns a home, etc., etc. Now, when this transition was made between Glenn Taylor and Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lorry, there was a provision that the Timberwolves wouldn't move, that they would play in Target Center, and then in due time, A-Rod and Mark Lorry would pursue a new building, whatever that looked like, because Target Center was on the drawing board in the 80s. They had an upgrade, but by arena standards, even comparing it to Grand Casino Arena in St. Paul, it is antiquated. Once again, they put money into it, but the conventional wisdom is that at some point the Timberwolves would need a new building. Arenas don't last forever. Wrigley Field, Fenway Park, kind of the outliers in the sports venue world, to say the very least. So that brings us to today. Now you have someone come in and put more money, take the 1.5 valuation where A-Rod, Mark Lurie, and partners bought from Glenn Taylor. Now the $4.5 billion valuation. And the way I understand these deals is that Stad or Lurie or A-Rod didn't go to their bank account and get a money order and bring it to Glenn Taylor. That there was some mechanism to finance this deal. They had to have the wherewithal to get the financing. But from where I sit, I highly doubt Stad, you know, is writing a check to Lurie that this is financed, that there is an institution involved in financing the deal. Could be wrong, but that is my guess. It's like when the Wilfs bought the Vikings from Red McCombs. Red paid, let's say, $250 million. Wilfs paid in the neighborhood of $650 million. The Wilfs likely didn't go into their savings account and pull out money to pay Red McCombs. The deal was financed. Anyway, it leads to the next component of all of this, and when will they start to crank up the noise for needing a new arena? That a Target Center won't meet the goals, the fan experience, etc., etc. And that's where I have the biggest beef. And the biggest beef is this. If the Lakers can be sold, turned over again for $12 billion, the Timberwolves playing in old Target Center in Minneapolis can be sold for or be valued at $4.5 billion. And you look at the valuation of NFL franchises, now NBA franchises, even NHL franchises or major league teams. There is no doubt the people that are trading in these teams and buying and selling, there is no doubt now that they can afford to build their own buildings and finance their own buildings. Do it privately. If on the back end they want to get some sort of tax break on the property they build these buildings on, I could maybe go along with that. But the direct financing, the direct public money going into buildings of this type, where, number one, the owners of the teams that will be the main tenant are billionaires. Their employees, at least their front-facing employees, are millionaires in their own right. And when a new building is built, they'll generally charge more for tickets, more for concessions. Those don't go down. And in many cases, these new buildings, like U.S. Bank Stadium, where there was a ton of public money into it, there were things called personal seat licenses. And if you're not familiar, read about personal seat licenses. So, this is just the latest. If the Timberwolves are worth $4.5 billion, the Timberwolves can go out and get their money. And I've said this about the Wild and Craig Leopold. Bought the Wild once upon a time. Used to be the Nashville Predators guy. Came in here and bought the Wild. And the team has gone up tremendously in value from the time Craig Leopold purchased the Wild to where it's valued at now. The public was involved in building, at the time, Xcel Energy Center, now Grand Casino Arena, and he is looking for public money to redevelop the entire complex, River Center, associated parking, and, of course, the main arena, Grand Casino Arena. And my answer to that is, I've been there, and I've been there fairly recently. The building's still in really good shape. I think he has the wherewithal. Equity in the team and the money behind him as a billionaire to upgrade the building himself. And that, Lindsay, is where I'm getting to in all of this. You look at the insane amount of money that these people have in owning these franchises. And I'm trying to understand, and I want to open up the phones. People need to help me understand, because I'm a big sports fan, always have been, and once upon a time was on board that, yeah, maybe the public should be involved in building Target Field for the Twins, that we should slap a 3 cent on every $20 taxable purchase in Hennepin County to help build the ballpark, that, you know, maybe the electronic pull tabs to build U.S. Bank Stadium, you know, maybe that was a good use of public funds. Maybe that's fine. I think I'm done with that. I don't agree. Facilities at the U, public university, tax dollars to build facilities for youth sports, sure. But for big-time pro sports, they have the money, and if they want a new venue, they can build it. They can afford it. And that's kind of where I'm at in August of 2026.
I'm with you, bud. I'm just asking for people to pay their fair share and eyes on their own bobber, right? Because, yeah, like, there's a certain amount of money, and this happens with pro athletes too. Like, once you start making a certain amount of money, people basically think you're not a human anymore. Like, we dehumanize them as spectators. But then when they finally see, oh, I'm getting taxed here, here, and here, and I'm making $10 million, and then don't ask me to do real numbers. But if I'm getting my tax that I have to pay is like this huge number, there's a reason for that. Just because it's a huge number to you and you think you shouldn't pay it anymore because it's way more than everybody else, you're not like everybody else. You have different expectations. You have different responsibilities. And I'm sick of all of these responsibilities falling on the backs of the consumer, of the middle class, the shrinking middle class. You can go all the way with this. The people that pay, the people that bear the cost, the people that bear the consequences of the decisions of the higher-ups never benefit from any of this, ever. Even when they say there's jobs, there's temporary jobs. I know that construction jobs, by just the nature of the business, all of those jobs are temporary. But,
well, it's been studied.
It's been studied.
There's been endless studies.
And Steve,
public money to build stadiums, ballparks, arenas, does it pay dividends? You know,
to the community itself, actually.
Yeah, and there's always, well, the jobs, and, you know, it's something that this, that, and the other
just
thing.
Just think of the bartenders, Steve, and they have reason to be concerned as well. We all have reason to be concerned because the dollars don't go as far, and we have to keep working more and more to get the dollar that keeps mattering less and less.
Well, and here's the economic argument against that, and all the economists who have studied this about public funding for sports venues and stadiums, and there's examples of this all over the country. The new Bills Stadium, and that's been comical to follow online since it was unveiled, and all the obstructed viewed seats and some of the, you know, shoddy design work and all the public money into that, or down the road in Kansas City, where one of the richest families in America, the Hunts, who own the Kansas City Chiefs, were able to play Kansas against Missouri and get the most public money to build a new facility for Kansas City in Kansas, not Missouri anymore.
Yeah, don't forget about the Indiana Bears as well. I mean, the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, for sure. The list goes on and on.
It's everywhere.
And we have pending examples right now on our plate. U.S. Bank Stadium is built. It's done. Target Field was done. It was built. And the idea is, well, you know, you did it for the Vikings and you did it for the Twins. You know, when you look at what the Timberwolves, and mark my words, they are coming for public money. And at the same time, the city of Minneapolis, and they floated the city center site, and they've, you know, floated all these other ideas, and that the current Target Center site isn't viable, and it might be. It's a very small footprint. We all know the limitations, if you've ever been down there, about the block that mm-hmm. it sits on and the proximity to Target Field. But the idea that cities like Minneapolis and St. Paul are struggling to pay basic services and cops and firefighters and street services and so on and so forth. And that's a complicated issue. But at the same time, we're going to raise money to build a new venue. Okay. You need to make a better case, and we can't afford to lose the Timberwolves from Minneapolis. I just don't see it anymore, and I'd love to get people's feedback on this at 651-461-9226. Same thing with the Wild. I've been in the building. I've watched hockey games.
It's a great PWHL, building.
Wild games, high school games. It's a fine venue in its own right. Does it need maybe HVAC work? Does it need new internet? Does it need some plumbing upgrades, so on and so forth? But as the whole, if you're going to go there for a few hours to enjoy a sporting event, is it really that rough?
What's the upgrade? Touchscreens at the concession stand so we can eliminate as many human being interactions as possible? Like, at some
Italian
point,
marble in the suites?
At some point, we have to really pick and choose which holistic soap that we're going to use on our hands in the bathroom, right? Like, I know that's not the right word. I just put it out there, but it's
I like
just,
that. That's got potential.
But you know their argument,
soul.
They always say, like, well, in this building, we can't compete for a championship. We're not going to be able to get the money in the building that will allow us to go out and get the players. And I'm just like, I don't care. Find somebody to do the job better for cheaper, just like everywhere else. Enough of just hand out for just a little bit more so we can get hand warmers on the club level. For who? There's no way you're going to get that cold in there. You're in there, like you said, for 2.5 hours. Can I get a good hot dog? Can all of the ketchup and mustard things be full? Can we make sure that everybody working at that place has a livable wage? Like, that's what I care about.
I made this argument, and we need to take a break. I made this argument about the Metrodome, and the Metrodome had its faults, particularly for baseball. It wasn't a great environment for baseball. But for football, the sight lines were good. The corridors were crowded. But for football, the sight lines were excellent in the Metrodome. And another thing, for all the other events that served in the public interest, high school sporting events, roller dome, all the other things that were done, trade shows, etc., Twins Fest, all those other things, the dome was fine. The dome was fine. What it didn't afford were the Wilfs to charge more for their premium customers and suites and clubs. And I think that's where we're at right now. And I just think going forward with the Timberwolves and the Wild thing, who is this benefiting? In the end, who is going to reap the lion's share of the benefit? And once again, if you have a thought, 651-461-9226 here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. We got the weather coming up here in a little bit, but we were talking about that concept. Wolves valued now at $4.5 billion, surprise sale. A limited partner jumps in, grabs a bigger share, grabs control of the team. A-Rod's still involved. And it just is a reminder that eventually they will want public help for a new building. And what will that look like? And I brought this up before when it's come to stadiums and arenas. California's been about the only spot in the country, Bay Area, L.A., where they pretty much said, no, we're not doing that. Or they put it to a vote and they say no. Because there are numerous examples. The Giants, for instance, financed their deal. And I think it's Oracle Park now. Used to be AT&T, whatever. Great ballpark, right there on the water. The Golden State Warriors left Oakland, went to San Francisco. Same deal, privately financed. L.A. Clippers, Steve Ballmer, in a little hot water with the NBA for another, but built the Intuit Dome in Inglewood, privately financed. SoFi, home of the Rams, home of the Chargers, privately financed. I believe Staples Center or Crypto.com, whatever it is now, in downtown L.A., where the Kings, the Lakers play, all of that privately financed. So California has been able to say, build it yourself. Oakland rejected it. They lost their teams, Raiders to Vegas. A's will eventually be in Vegas. As we mentioned, the Warriors went over to San Francisco. But most markets are still kind of under the thumb of sports with the idea, if you don't, we'll leave. And that was the threat with the Twins. It was the threat with the Vikings. The Wild were born.
It was a promise. It was
building.
A promise for the North Stars, and the Wild were born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
we've had it happen to us, just like others, just like Oakland has.
Yeah. We're Norm Green.
Yeah.
Still a four-letter word.
Not one child has been named Norm in this state since 1992.
Yeah.
Although there is a three-year-old named Bruce, which surprised me hearing that the other day.
You know, Norm Green bails out. There were some other issues, but ultimately couldn't get money to fix up the mat. And then that led to the Wild, the new building, and another Norm Coleman, at the time, I believe, mayor, helped get a deal done and public money to build, tear down the Civic Center, build the Xcel Energy Center, and then ultimately now Grand Casino
it's
Arena.
A lot of Norm experiences, if you think about it, for here.
So I just think this transaction says, all right, now the banks, these people with money, have a lot of money tied up in the Timberwolves, and it's kind of like, so now what are you going to do, taxpayers, to help us out? I would be leery. And the only thing I'll say is I think they need to make a better case. And here's an idea. And this is a simple idea, and I don't know why it's happened. If the public becomes a partner in building the arena, should they not be a partner in the equity growth of the value of the franchise? Okay. Craig Leopold, we'll help you remodel the complex, charge more for parking, tickets, suites, club seating, etc., in a newly remodeled Grand Casino Arena. But give us an equity stake in the franchise, the public, so if you do indeed sell, we can get some funds.
Yeah, invite us to the shareholder meeting. Then let's see what's happening.
And
you saying
and
the Packers
the
got it figured out? Is that what you're saying?
What's that?
That the Green Bay Packers got it all figured out?
Well, there's been some articles about that it may not all be wine and roses.
It's not. You know, it's Line and Kugels and maybe some Andy's mints from Olive Garden, which are excellent, by the way.
Well, it would be Liney's and cheese curds.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
cheese whiz.
Love cheese curds. Fair is coming up, so just an idea. Maybe the public can start cutting deals where we get an equity share. So the $4.5 billion, you get a new arena, the Timberwolves, and all of a sudden the Timberwolves are worth $7 billion or $8 billion down the road.
Mm.
Maybe the public can wet their beak on that. Increased valuation. Just
Highway 280 could pay for itself, Steve, and be done in half the time. Do you think that's going to be done for the State Fair?
It is. I'll
believe it when I see it.
I saw it on the news.
Yeah, has it been reopened?
I saw it on the news. 280 is going to be ready to go.
I need Snelling to clear out. It's just been packed.
Yeah. No, I saw it on the news. It's got to be true. 24 minutes now in front of 6. We'll have the weather in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Genius Norm MacDonald.
Another great Norm. What the heck?
Yeah. You found another Norm.
Another Norm.
Norm from Cheers.
Facts. I've been to that bar. I think it's no longer with us, actually.
Is that bar gone?
Hall. Yeah, I threw up in a few trash cans around there back in my glory days.
Yeah.
Who knows if they're truly dead.
Yeah, it's still a funny show. It still is funny. Seinfeld's still funny. At my full-time job, we have a big TV in the lunchroom. And for the longest time, it didn't work. We couldn't get over-the-air channels because it's in the middle of a concrete and steel building. And then we found this antenna and put it up in the ceiling, and we're able to pull in all the over-the-air channels, you know, 2, 4, 5, 9, 11, and all their digital channels. So there's a ton of reruns. And I don't know if it's 12:30 or 1, but one of the channels has Seinfeld reruns. And it's still pretty funny.
I don't know if that show would work today because, like, the world doesn't really have time for nothing anymore and shows about nothing. Like, it has to be compelling. It must be rich. Every moment must have multi-layered meaning, Steve. Otherwise, my brain's not stimulated enough.
Yeah, no, it's still pretty funny. And I'm one who don't eat in the lunchroom. I eat in private at my desk.
What is with you not eating around
people? I don't know. I'm getting this weird thing where I don't want to see people see me eat, and here's why, because I don't think people want to watch me eat.
People
really want to
see you
thing.
In all of your forms, Steve. Just because you feel like you're compromised doesn't mean people are going to see you any different.
Well, it's like at the fair. I'll sneak into the green room and back and scarf down cookies or mini donuts. You know, I won't sit out on the porch and eat. That's for sure at the fair. Now, I was going to ask you, and I try to do this. Generally, we do it off the air, but I'm going to do it on the air right now and ask you, give us an update on the cats.
Yes.
Because if you don't know, Lindsay has a cat situation at home that's been touch and go for a while now.
It's been quite persistent. And
yeah, it gets better. It's kind of two steps forward, sometimes three steps back.
Yes.
With these cats.
Yes, we've even started to consult some cat integration experts. We haven't spoken with them directly yet, but we've done some classes, and we realized that we were rushing it a little bit too much,
That's
too quickly.
That's a good gig, by the way.
Right?
That is a good gig.
Actually, I think the best gig are the animal psychics, where you can pay someone, Steve, across the world to talk to your cat on Zoom if you must, but the Zoom is not mandatory. And then they'll tell you what your animals think about you. It's fascinating.
That's a really good
That's
gig.
A great gig. One of these
Okay,
days.
So you've brought in an expert.
So we've brought in some more detailed expert advice, for sure. But we discovered a little loophole in the house the other day. We have kind of like a rambler, but a little bit different, where our bedroom kind of sticks out towards the street, and then the rest of the house is in the back. So on our front door, we have two tall windows on either side of it, right? Just like lots of houses, so you could take a peek at who's ever out there. Most of us avoid that at all costs, and you have a Ring camera. Not at my house. We're going to confront them, because mostly I don't want the surveillance state anywhere near my address. But we noticed that there is a way and there is a pattern to two out of our three cats. There's Halsey, my cat, and then Sarah has two that are Gus and Betsy. Gus is the most nervous Nelly out of all of them. Has a lot of anxiety, has some separation anxiety. But we noticed that there is a way where those cats, and specifically Gus and Halsey, who love to sit in the bedroom cat tree looking out the window, you know, at the garden, right? At the coming and goings of the house, of the neighborhood, the kids,
sure.
You know, we're seeing them
cat
grow up,
TV.
Right? But yeah, cat TV, bunny TV gets great signals most of the time.
Yeah.
Steve, sometimes we even get like a triple feature at once. But we realized that those two cats like to sit out and look out that bedroom window. And then we were in the window next to the front door, and all of a sudden I see some eyeballs. I see some eyeballs in the bedroom window. These little kittens have been eyeballing each other for a year, because you know that they figured this out probably a year ago, that they could just watch. So if when Gus is locked up and Halsey's wandering, well, then he can just see what Halsey coming and going and hanging with
wow,
mom and all of these toys. And then when Halsey's in there, she can watch Gus and Betsy go in and out of the garage. They love garage time. I don't know what it is about cats and rubbing themselves on concrete, but it's a whole thing. They have been basically stalking each other for the better part of a year through this window.
So this could be the root of,
this could,
of some of these
it
issues.
It could be a root. It could be a branch. It could be a whole darn forest. Every little bit helps at this point, Steve. And so we're going to create some sort of, you know, lattice or a sticker of some sort to disrupt that eye line. But we just about died when we figured that out. I was like, I can't believe this has been existing for a year. It makes too much sense. Cats are so much smarter than we are, Steve.
Well, and I've told you this cat story, and this was when we started working together, and I got wind of the cat trouble. I told you about our cat trouble. Now, we don't have cats anymore. They've passed away. And I like cats and dogs. My daughter has a dog right now, and that's the only pet in the house. No cats at this time. But we had an existing cat that moved with us from South Dakota back here to the cities. And then we adopted a cat. And the first 4 to 5 weeks of that existence was pure hell. Of the new cat and the old cat trying to get along. It got to the point where we had to have a family meeting.
Cats included.
Both daughters were at home. I'm sure the cats were listening in. And my wife and I and the two kids, we had a family chat. This isn't working out. They're driving us insane. It's ugly. They don't like each, they hate each other. And we had agreed new cat may have to be returned to the Humane Society. It was that problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day.
The next day.
Literally the next day. I kid you not. This is not made up. This is 100% true. They got along like old pals.
That you are long lost.
They realized that they had pushed us to the human limit of cat behavior. And that this was ending, and one of them would leave the island. And then all of a sudden, they were best pals for the rest of their lives.
Besties.
Isn't that
God,
crazy?
I hope that for us. I hope
because
that for
we literally had the 4 humans in the house met about the 2 felines and said, this ends soon. And it changed. So maybe you just need to have that meeting.
Yep. Real threats instead of idle threats. You got it.
Try that. Have the serious meeting with the cats listening. And they'll get their act together. 9 minutes now in front of 6 here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Twins tonight play the Padres. Kramer against Mize. San Diego won game 1 last night. Updated standings at the moment. Chicago leading Minnesota by 4.5. Cleveland also 4.5 back. Chicago 67-61. Twins and Guardians 63-66. Tigers have fallen on hard times. They're 6 games under and 6 games out. And then the wild card, the update there after the Twins loss on Friday night in San Diego to the Padres 6-2. Here we go. Texas, the third wild card, Blue Jays 1 back, Twins, Guardians, all 1 back, Orioles 2 back, Tigers hanging in there 2.5 out, Seattle still in the mix, 3 games out, New York and Boston, the 1 and 2 wild cards comfortably in front. So that's the lay of the land going into the ball game tonight in San Diego. Then a little bit later, start on Sunday, as you might expect, out on the West Coast. Our lineup card at 2:30, inside Twins at 2. So you got Corozo on a Sunday, 10 to noon, then a break, and then Twins coverage beginning straight up 2 o'clock tomorrow on a Sunday. Then it's on to Sacramento, and the Twins return home next weekend in a big series with the first-place White Sox. Big thanks to Lindsey Brown. Big thanks to you for tuning in. We're an hour away from Twins coverage here on News Talk 830 WCCO.